That's all the jokes I tell. But if I was to learn an instrument, it would be the violin. As a matter of fact, I study by violin music. I don't like silence. So anytime I'm somewhere, driving in the car or that type of thing, I've got to have music going. Or sometimes I'll listen to preaching while I'm driving, that type of thing. But that's dangerous because I get into the preaching. And you're supposed to be into the driving. But I'll sit at home and I'll put on some string quartet music and just get into the Word of God and study, and it's pleasant. I enjoyed that. That was precious, young ladies. That really was. We're going to do something a little bit different. I told you before that a textual preacher, I preach a passage of Scripture, but I want to take and use several passages of Scripture to give you what I believe is a great biblical principle on this thing of missions giving. This is a Faith Promise Missions Conference. I've not talked a lot about money yet, but we will at some point highlight the need of money. And so it is a Faith Promise Missions Conference, so we are going to talk about your finances and how they help. So if you've got your Bibles open to the first chapter of 3 John, don't go to the second chapter, and you'll stand. We'll read just a few verses. I'll spend some time here building an idea, and then we'll go some other places. So have your Bible turning fingers ready, okay? Because we're going to take a little journey through the Word of God and lay down some background for you on this whole idea of helping missionaries in their fields and helping them, how you can be a help to them. 3 John, verse number 5. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers, which will have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Father, we come tonight, third night of this meeting, one meeting left to go. Father, we have reached around and touched on several things tonight, Father, as you lead and guide, as you fill me with the power of your Spirit, as you speak through me. Would you help us to understand our personal place in this thing we call missions? Give us understanding and then, Father, application of the Word of God. As best I know how, Father, I yield myself to thee. You know, Father, I've struggled all day long, not just on the golf course, but I've struggled all day long just trying to figure out exactly where you want me to go. And this is where I believe you have us. So help, please, Father, as we present what you have for us here in the power of the Spirit of God. Be useless for me to stand here without your power. And so, Father, please, please empty me of me and fill me with you. We'll be careful, Father, to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory that's due your name. For we ask this all in that name, Father, that's above every name. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Most people don't spend a lot of time in 2 John or 3 John. You know, there are some books in the Bible that get very little attention from the pulpit. This is one of those passage of Scripture. Another would be the book of Malachi, which when you stand up in the pulpit and you announce, take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3, all the men clutch their wallets, all the women clutch their purse, because you know that they're going to be preaching about tithing. Realize that that's not the only thing in the book of Malachi. Okay, Malachi's full of good stuff. The Bible's full of good stuff. In this passage of Scripture, of course, you understand that it concerns the two sides of things, the side of those that are receptive of people, that open their hearts and their minds and their homes and hospitality to travelers. And he talks about strangers in this passage of Scripture. And then it also looks at the other side, the Diotrephes of the church don't allow you to do anything, don't allow you to be greeting people, that kind of want to rule over everything. And there's two sides here. And he begins talking about the side of those that are receptive, those that are help people. Look at what it says in verse number 5. He says, "Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers." Now, I got some things underlined in here. I told you last night that I underline in my Bible and I write notes in my Bible. And I'm using a new Bible. I don't have a lot underlined in this Bible. This Bible was given to me in Bulgaria by a Bulgarian man. It's a Cambridge Wide Margin Bible. I don't know how he got it. It's in English, but he spoke English. But I preached there in a mission conference, and he said, "I have a Bible for you," and he gave me this Bible. I said, "Well, that's good, because the other one's falling apart." I began to underline, and I've underlined here this idea of strangers. What's he talking about? I'm talking about people that travel around, and when we look at the passage of Scripture, we'll learn that there are people that are traveling around carrying the gospel. Look what it says in verse number 7, "Because for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles." So it's talking about traveling preachers. It's talking about men that are traveling, carrying the gospel from one place to the other, and they come by this church, whatever this church happens to be, they come by this church, and some people in the church open their hearts and open their doors and open their heart and their mind of hospitality to these brethren and to the strangers who are carrying the gospel. I see in this passage of Scripture, I see missionaries.
Yes,
sir. I see missionaries that are traveling from place to place carrying the gospel, and these people that are opening their hearts and opening their minds. And then there's a phrase in the 6th verse that I want you to see. It says this, "which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey." I've got that phrase underlined. I looked that up in my study tools, and that phrase, "bring forth on thy journey," is one word. And it carries the idea of assisting or helping somebody on their journey. Isn't that what we do with missionaries when we give our missions money? We're helping them on their journey. Helping them to get to where God would have them and sustain them there where God would have them. And he says in verse number 8, he says, we therefore ought to be received such that we might be, here it is, fellow helpers of the truth. You know what I get out of that? I get, here's some missionaries that are traveling around. They're going to place, they're presenting their ministry, they're preaching the gospel, and some people get behind them and aid them on their journey, maybe financially, maybe some other way, but they aid them on their journey. And in doing so, those people become fellow helpers of the truth. So let me put it in a kind of a nutshell, and then I'll carry you through other places. So what that means is if you give to the missions, Faith Promise Missions here in this church, in Grace Baptist Church here in Bridgeport, if you give to that, you are a fellow helper of the truth.
That's right.
Amen. Wow, what a thought. How can I be involved in helping to get the gospel? Give. Pray. Give. How about this? How about go?
Yes.
How about put feet to your prayers? And you go somewhere. Maybe next door. I like the testimony. I spoke with a dear lady last night after services who led that. She said she didn't do it, just God did it. Well, God just used her. Did you know that outside these doors is a mission field?
Yes, sir. That's right.
When I pastored the church in Germany, we had a sign over our door. That sign simply said, "You are now entering your mission field."
Yes.
Bridgeport is a mission field.
Amen.
How do I know? Because not everybody's saved in Bridgeport. If everybody was saved, then they'd be in church. You'd have to build not just a family life center, which is absolutely, I went over there earlier, absolutely beautiful. I love the kitchen. I like to play around in the kitchen. I cook and that type of thing. I love the kitchen. You'd have to build a new auditorium. Wouldn't that be great if we all got busy doing what you did, doing what she did, taking every opportunity, every conversation, turning it to a gospel presentation? Wouldn't it be great if all of us just got involved in being fellow helpers to the truth? Sharing the gospel with those and those that we couldn't talk to, helping others to share the gospel by aiding them on their journey. We're fellow helpers to the truth when we encourage in word and deed. You know, one of the things we ought to be doing as God's people is encouraging one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That word exhorting is the same word encouraging. It's parakaleo. It's calling alongside. It's helping one another, encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, trouble is, in our churches today, we go so much the less as we see the day approaching.
Right.
We're fellow helpers to the truth when we when we contribute to their financial need. I wish there's some things I wish would happen. I wish we wouldn't need money to do what we do. When I pastored, I don't know about you, Brother Vaughn, but when I pastored, the hardest thing for me to do was preach on money. The hardest thing. I mean, I could preach on soul winning, I could preach on sin, I could preach on salvation, I could preach on revival, I could preach on growing in faith. But when it came to preaching on money and that type of thing, it was just the hardest thing I had to do. But the trouble is that we've got to have money in order to do what God called us to do. You know, I don't suppose, Brother Joshua, that in Mexico City, they will just give you everything for free. Yeah. Oh, you're coming here to witness to us? Here's a building. Start your church. You know, you need paper? We'll get it for you. You need ink? We'll do that for you. That doesn't happen. It takes money to operate a ministry. Whether it be a ministry here in the States, or whether it be a ministry in Mexico City, or whether it be a ministry in Korea. I just learned tonight that I got to speak to Bruce Rothko's daughter. I know Bruce. She was talking about being in Korea, and I said, "Yeah, my dad's a missionary in Korea. What's his name? Bruce Rothko." Hello, I know Bruce. But we've got to have money. And we become fellow helpers to the truth when we invest, when we help them, when we get behind them and help to meet their financial needs. We become fellow helpers to the truth when we intercede earnestly on their behalf. So three things are there in that. There's the going, there's the giving, and there's the praying. All the three things that we need in missions. Said the first night that missionaries need three things. They need partners, they need prayers, and they need pennies. More than pennies, but it fits. So here's that idea of helping them, and that's where I want to do the rest of the message on, is helping them on their journey. Now, I said I'm going to start here. I normally stay in a passage of Scripture, but I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to take you through the Bible and show you where this fits. So first of all, it has a biblical pattern. There's a pattern to this idea of helping them on their journey. Keep your place here. We'll come back to this passage of Scripture. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. In verse number 16. It says in that passage of Scripture, and to pass by you onto Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse number 6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. By the way, those are that same phrase that you find over in 3 John, and it's still all one Greek word, and it carries the idea of assisting, helping somebody in their travels. Romans chapter 15. In verse number 24, Romans chapter 15, verse number 24, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I don't know why I have that there. Maybe I put the wrong verse down. That's embarrassing, isn't that? My face is red, not because I had too much sun, because every time I think about my golf game, I get embarrassed. I did enjoy myself. I enjoyed the guys I was with, Brother Chuck, Brother Bill, and Brother James. So that it has a biblical pattern. Paul has asked that he be helped on his journey into Spain. There's his missionary travels in and out of Macedonia. He says, would you help me on my journey? I'm trusting you to help me on my journey. And these missionaries that are here are looking to you to help them on your journey. That list of missionaries you find on the back of your brochure for this conference are men that you have, people that you have committed to helping them on their journey as they travel and minister the gospel in your stead in other places that you can't personally go. So it has a biblical pattern. It has a biblical portion as well. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. He says in, verse number 16, he says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. I think that's important that we look at that. Even in Thessalonica you sent once and again. That's multiple times. Nowadays, what we do is if we have a need, we get our phone out, we pull up our text, and we text, Dear Pastor Vaughn, we've run into some situations where we could use a little extra finances. Is there any way you could help? Dear Pastor Vaughn says, sure, we have a little extra in missions, and it seems like a worthy cause, and so we're going to deposit X number of dollars in your bank account. And then he goes to his app on his phone or his bank account, and he transfers X number of dollars, and it shows up the very next day in your bank account. Now, that may not happen, but that's the idea today. In those days, that's not the idea. In those days, they had to travel. Somebody had to go from Thessalonica to Philippi, travel that distance from Thessalonica up to Philippi to tell the folks at Philippi that Paul had a need, and then they had to collect that need, and they had to physically carry that from Philippi to Thessalonica. And they did it once and again, at least twice. And you say, well, that's no big deal. Yeah, it is, because Paul wasn't in Philippi very long. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, he was preached in the synagogues 3 Sabbath days. That's 3 weeks. And then he went to the Gentiles. It was Paul's custom always to start in with the Jews, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. He was called to the Gentiles, but man, he loved his brethren. He said, I could wish myself a curse for my kinsmen, my kins, according to the flesh. So he'd always go to the synagogue first. And so 3 weeks he preached in the synagogue, and then he went to the Gentiles. Somebody once said that he was probably there in Philippi, maybe at the most 3 months. In Thessalonica, at the most 3 months. That's amazing to me because of the strength of the church that was there and the knowledge that the church had that was there. Paul poured himself into those people, poured it all out, and then when he left, so in those 3 months, they sent once and again onto his necessity. There's the biblical portion. Let's read on. That was verse 16. Verse 17 says this. Verse 17 is not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I mentioned that on the first night. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. There's a biblical portion. It also has a biblical portion. If you'll go to the Old Testament, we have a New Testament example, but there's also an Old Testament example. If you go to the book of Ezra, need help getting there? I'll help you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, there's a couple others, and then Ezra. It's somewhere after Deuteronomy, before the Psalms. How many of you are there? Okay, good. Ezra chapter number 1, verse number 3. Cyrus the king is speaking. God records it. And he says, who is there among you of all his people? Remember now, they are in captivity. Okay? They're beginning to go back to the land. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. Okay, so what are they going to do? A group of guys are going to leave Babylon, a group of people, and they're going to go back to Jerusalem to build the house of God. Let me make a kind of a spiritual switch here. When we go witnessing, talking to people, winning people to Jesus, what are we doing? Help me out. We're building God's house, aren't we? We're building the family of God. All right, so we got that, the principle. Let's go to the verse number 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth. Okay, so what's he talking about? It's a group of people are going to go back to Jerusalem to build the house of God. But not all of them are going to go. Some of them are going to stay there. You with me? Let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, and with goods, and with beast, beside the free will offering, which, by the way, is your mission's offering. The free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Now, do I see missions here? Do you see missions here? The free will. Do you realize that faith promise is not an obligatory offering? Obligatory means mandatory. It's a big word. I like big words from time to time. It confuses the Marines. I just had to do that. I'm sorry, brother. I just had to do that. I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. No, the missions, and I mentioned it the first night, the missions is a free will offering. So we've got the free will offering. Look at verse number 6. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with the precious things beside all that was willingly offered. Has a biblical portion. Has a biblical pattern, has a biblical portion, not only in the New Testament, but the principles laid down in the Old Testament. Those that go back to build, those that don't go back to build, stay and they help those that go back to build by supplying what they need. So you're here, you're in this church, and you're serving this church here, you're serving God through the church, and you're sharing the gospel with people around you, but you've got people that you support, people that you've got behind, and they're in other places doing what you're doing here, and you're you should be helping them build the house of God in those places where they're at. Is that not what it says here? So there's a biblical pattern, a biblical portion, and then there's a biblical principle. Luke chapter 6. I mentioned it the other day. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on it. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Now, I told you, this is normally I'm in one passage of Scripture, but I'm trying to collect everything that focuses on this idea of missions. I'm trying to collect it all in one message and put it all together for you to see the whole Bible idea of this helping missionaries. Biblical principle, Luke chapter 6, verse number 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Let me help you kind of explain this. The very first word in that sentence is give. Now, when I went to Bible college, they tested everybody. They gave you an English test. And if you did well, then you got to English 101. And then you went from there to English 102. If you didn't do well on the English test, you went to English 100, what we call bonehead English. That's where I found myself. And I learned some things. The parts of speech. I learned this about some sentences. Every sentence has to have a subject and a predicate. The subject does, is, and the verb, the predicate, is what he does. He does. He gives. If the sentence does not have a subject, the subject is an understood subject. And a subject understood, it's always an understood you. So when he says give, he says you give. And when it's an understood subject, that sentence is not just a plain sentence, it is a command sentence. So what you have in verse number 38 of Luke chapter 6 is a command. If I'm not correct, that's in red letters, isn't it? So who's speaking? So Jesus is saying, give. You give. And then he says, and it should be given unto you. What we want in our lives is we want others to give so that we can give. And that's not what God says. God says, you give, and it'll be given unto you. He commands us to give. But he says, if you give, I'll make sure you get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. How many of you ladies cook and you use real flour? I mean, you don't get the box, you know, that type of thing. I mean, you use flour and you're going to make a cake, not out of the box, but you're going to make a cake. And you get out what? You get out the sifter. When I was a kid, that's what I used to do when Mom would make a cake. I used to do the sifting. I like to do take and turn that thing and all that flour falls down. You sift it. I like coffee.
Amen.
Okay, good. I want to make sure I'm in the right spot. And I like German coffee. Man, it's good stuff. Somebody says, this isn't strong. It's only as strong as you make it. Understand that. Okay. What German coffee excels in is the fact that it doesn't have a lot of acid. It's smooth. And so oftentimes, I would buy German coffee when I'm in Europe and bring it home. And they sell it in bricks. It's air compressed. And they sell it in bricks of 500 grams. Well, I have a jar that sits on my kitchen counter, and that jar will hold a brick of coffee. So I'll take and open up that brick of coffee, and I'll pour it into that jar, and it'll come to the top. And I'll still have coffee here. So what I do is I take the jar, and I tap it on the counter. I shake it a little bit, and it settles, and I can add more. And God says, you give. What I'll do is I have people give back to you.
That's right.
And I'll tap it down.
Praise you, Lord.
I'll press it down. I'll shake it together. And I'll cause it to overflow. You with me?
Amen.
I've heard this. It's a trite, can be a very trite saying. You hear it all the time. You cannot outgive God. What am I saying? I'm saying, let's get involved in helping missionaries. And bringing them on their journey and helping them on their journey to where God wants them to be, where God wants them to minister, and you become a fellow helper of their ministry.
Amen.
Just by giving. And understand, it's not obligatory that you give to missions. It's a free will offering. Wasn't that said twice in that Ezra passage? Gold, silver, beast, things, and of the free will offering. It has a biblical pattern. It has a biblical portion. It has a biblical principle. And it has a biblical plan. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. A couple things in here. God's grace given to God's people. Somebody says, what is grace? Grace is God's supply for whatever our need is. In the Bible, there's saving grace, there's sanctifying grace, they're serving grace, they're sacrificing grace, there's even singing grace. You know, when we think about grace, all we think about is this thing of saving grace. But there's sanctifying grace. You'll find that in Titus. There's serving grace. Paul said, I serve more than they, but not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul served by God's grace. And then here you have sacrificing grace. He says, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then this verse blows me away. How then at a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. I cannot fathom that verse. How in a great trial of affliction, their joy. Wow.
Amen.
We don't think of it things that way. We don't, when we have affliction, we have sorrow. But they had affliction and they had joy. What's he talking about? What church is the church of Macedonia? Philippi. Thessalonica. Not only joy in affliction, but it says in their deep poverty. Man. If I haven't got two nickels to rub together, I think, man, I'm poor. But they were in deep poverty. And their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality, their generosity.
Yes.
For to their power, I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know how you get in this idea of giving to missions without it being a big pain in the neck, a big problem? When the offering plate goes around, or when you go back to the box back there, climb in.
Amen. Good, Richard.
Climb in.
Amen.
You get in, you give God you, and then you don't have to worry about your wallet. You don't have to worry. Why? Because He has everything. They first gave their own selves. Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would finish also you this same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, this church, understand, this letter is different from the first letter. The first letter, he is condemning them for all the problems they have. They learned it from the first letter, and now he's commending them for their growth and their change. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he's rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, not a command, advice. For this is expedient. That word expedient means beneficial, helpful. Doesn't mean fast. Nowadays, you know, words change meanings, and nowadays expedient means do it quickly. But here it means that it's beneficial for you. For here and I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. There's where we get the idea of annually. Now there perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. It's not, God, give me money to give to missions. It's, God, how much of my money do you want me to give to missions? Knowing that the principle will play out, that if I give, God's going to give back to me.
Amen.
For if there be first a willing mind, that's where it starts, a willing mind. First be a willing mind, there may it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men may be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. There's the biblical plan. You give, God gives back to you. You help. Understand that this passage of Scripture was not written about missions. It was written about helping the poor Jerusalem or poor Christians in Jerusalem that were having a hard time. And Paul was taking a collection, and this church, along with the churches of Macedonia, said, we want to help. We want to get involved. And so they promised they would. They had done that, the churches of Macedonia. Now Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, said, you wanted to, where is it? There was a willing mind, where is it? So we've seen a biblical pattern, and we've seen a biblical portion, and a biblical principle, and a biblical plan. Say, well, how does this apply? Well, here it is. You see this? How many of you picked up one of these? Okay? If you didn't, do it. Okay? How many of you have seen this? How many picked up one of these? Okay? How many picked up one of these? You know what these are? These are their commitment cards. They're committing to you that they're going to go to these places and do the will of God in these places. That's their commitment to you. They're saying, when they give this to you, this is what God has called me to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is my promise. You know what this is? This is your commitment card. This is your commitment to God that you're going to help missionaries go to where God called them to do what God has called them to do. They've filled out and given their commitment card. Have you filled out and given your commitment card? It's a biblical principle. It's helping them on their journey.
Amen.
So here's what we're going to do. No, we're not going to fill out cards. We'll do that tomorrow. We're going to go to an invitation. And I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already determined what God wants you to do for missions this coming year, I'm going to ask you, come to an old-fashioned altar, kneel. And if you want, bring your commitment card with you. Lay it on the altar. Say, God, what do you want me to do for missions this coming year? What do you want me to give? Weekly or biweekly or monthly? What do you want me to do? Say, will God tell me? Remember the widow at Zarephath? How many remember the widow at Zarephath? God told Elijah, he said, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee.
That's right.
What'd she do? She gave her last handful of meal, her last drop of oil, her last cake, the cake that she was going to make for her and her son. That was the last one because she was going to make it. They were going to eat it and die. Elijah said, give it to me. God will make sure. She gave it, and for days,
yes,
they ate off of an empty barrel and an empty cruise. Here's your card. Here's your commitment to missionaries. Here's their commitment. Here's yours. Heavenly Father, you know I've struggled, not with exactly what to do, but where you want me to go tonight and how you want me to present it. Not always what we say. Oftentimes it's how we say. So, Father, I believe I've done exactly what you want me to do. And I pray, Father, that you'd help God's people to see the truth and understand the truth that we've tried to lay out this evening. Tried to do it in an orderly fashion. Tried to do it in such a way that it was clear and understandable. I pray, Father, that we've been able to do that. And I pray, Father, that God's people would have grasped the idea. I pray for these missionaries, Brother Joshua and his precious wife, Katie, Brother James and his precious wife, Isabel, Brother John and his precious wife, Rebecca, and those girls, Susanna, Cassandra, Jennebeth, and Leahanna. Pray, Father, that you would carry them through in what you have called them to do. And I pray, Father, for each of these precious people of Grace Baptist Church here in Bridgeport, that you'd speak directly to their heart in what you want them to do to help missionaries on their journey. Bless, Father, in this invitation time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know what I asked about the invitation? It's open. You come. Bring your card, lay it at the altar, and say, God, what would you have me to do? Here it is. Here's the altar. You come right now. You come. Maybe you could come and say, God, I'd be willing to go if you'd send me. Whatever your need is tonight, you come.